Sounds. You're listening to High-Waisted Modernists with me, DJ Gigi, the blue-haired hippie. Suddenly, I was exactly sure what caused me to wake up. I was groggy. Had there been a sound? The bedroom was silent. I thought something hit the wall. I moved my hand to where my glasses are, but it moves slowly. It doesn't land exactly where I send it. Something's off. I'm slow, tired. I move my hand a few more times, find my glasses, and eventually my phone. I stab around for a light source. A small lamp pointed at the wall to diffuse the direct light and just give me enough to dimly poke around for some gear. Thank you. on suddenly and I flinch, like some monster in a film when confronted with a cross. But it works. I can see my house shoes and the sweater I heaped in a pile next to the bed. After 4 tries, I'm wearing the shoes, and eventually I find the armholes for the sweater. Already I can hear the cries outside the bedroom, but I try to put the cats out of my mind. After a few moments in this condition, trying to get the order of operations right, I try to remember. What did wake me up? Did something happen? Did I imagine that sound? Ever since the 2 break-ins, I haven't been able to sleep for very long or very well, assuming the worst. I jump at every little thing, so much so that it feels like I now wake up to things that I can't even consciously remember waking up to. Sounds silently bombard me in both my real and dream life, and I wonder if it is better that we don't hear everything, no matter how much we might want to. Gain the momentum to roll out of bed, and I try and put some distance between the world of imagination and the world of the concrete, and so it's not until I get to the kitchen that I realise it's 2 a.m. It's not even close to when I should be waking up, not even to feed the boys. They wrap themselves around my legs and they zig and zag beneath me. two black creatures that I can't really make out in the darkness, trying to trip me. Decided to leave things as they are and continue to wander in the darkness as I check to see if the doors are still locked, that the windows are still shut, that there's no person lurking in the night to steal our laptops again. But there is nothing that I can see, no monster lurking in the night save the one in my mind. I putter around a bit more until I'm on the couch. The boys want food, despite it being hours until their breakfast. But there is no reasoning with them. They are insistent. They are all-knowing. They are ready to eat. They are less than two. Sleepiness, I let them chitter away as they try to get me on their side while I work on my own situation. I should go back to sleep, but I'm not precisely tired. Whatever jolted me awake has me a little rattled, so I need to calm down again. The boys aren't helping, but they will chill out eventually. But now I needed to figure out how to do the same. My immediate impulse is to reach for my addiction and start scrolling. Ah, I hate that I want to do this, and I hate that I can't seem to stop myself from doing it. But having weaned myself off cramming junk food into my mouth all night long, it seemed like the best way to compromise. It's probably not the worst hashtag pandemic habit I developed recently, and I guess a few minutes scrolling through bullshit is a little less harmful than the unnecessary weight I put on. Calm again, and in the dark, if I turn off my phone, I can almost imagine that I'm in some house from my childhood, awake at night when I shouldn't be, trying to see if I can get away with being up without getting caught. It seems that I've always had some sort of relationship with the night that bordered on the risque, or at least outside the realm of the mundane. At night, things happen that can't possibly happen during the day. There were too many of us kids growing up to be usefully monitored by only two adults. And that was when there was a solid marriage at the cornerstone of that family. Even then, we outnumbered them. And my father's propensity for being outdoors as a way of recreating meant that for us kids, the lore of the outdoors was planted early. There was something about sleeping under the stars and being awake under them too that was compelling almost immediately. So it was too easy to talk your way into camping in the backyard at night, which was essentially a blank check to wander around in the woods and city that was inevitably nearby. Looking for trouble, or even that I knew that this could lead to it. In my heart of hearts, I was pretty sure their divorce was because of how wild all of us were, and the non-Catholic guilt I felt kept me on the straight and narrow even when I was causing trouble. I was the one that quickly told the cops how to get in touch with my mom when the other guys were fairly stoic in the face of what seemed like terminal danger to me as a 14-year-old boy. Country boys raised on hunting and camping and football in small towns scattered all over the Pacific Northwest and turn them into refined city kids who will follow the rules and get good grades and reflect well on the community without a few side effects. It started early enough, with just reading well past the point that I should be in bed. That was easy to get away with. And the year I got a reading light that clipped onto the backside of my books seemed like a tacit acknowledgement of, and at least a wink and a nod to the acceptance thereof, and only reinforced the possibility that I was being told this was sort of acceptable, at least under certain circumstances anyway. Thank you. those overnight sleepovers where we camped in the yard led to long and protracted foot journeys across every piece of ground that Cottage Grove had to offer at night, usually punctuated by a stop for coffee somewhere, which only fueled further night tromping. But the town shut down well before 10 p.m, and the one or two night places that were open did not take kindly to sullen teens taking up counter space at the diner for truckers, when someone who wasn't writing a poem dedicated to his recent breakup might actually buy a full meal and shove off so the spot can turn over a few times that night. As I evolved from a teen to a 20-something on my own, the night was clearly my time. You worked all day, you met your friends at night, and somehow you were able to also fit in a few hours sleep too, before you had to go to work the next day. And you could live like that for a while, because you were young, and what did it matter if you were tired at work? Just drink more coffee and power through. What did Weird Al say? "I'll be mellow when I'm dead." If our jobs robbed us of the daytime, took a vort and buy records and flirt in the park and read comics, then we had better wring from the night every ounce of pleasure that we had to work through during the day. Certainly being a night owl with a day job couldn't be any worse than these teenaged indiscretions with coffee and lofty thoughts. It didn't take long, though, before the effects began to take shape. Sleeping for 16 hours straight on a weekend to catch up for how ragged you ran yourself, to wake up with a hangover and a sense of guilt that was just vague enough to be both distant and unsettling. And then you began to associate the wrong things with the wrong time of day. time I sat down to write, I had conditioned myself to such a degree that I had to wait for the sun to go down before I felt inspired to hammer out anything. I had habituated these late-night behaviours for so long that I had developed the need for another meal around midnight so that I wouldn't feel so hungry as the night wore on. With all the poorly timed cups of coffee, you also inevitably find yourself with a couple of hours before you're about to fall asleep, but after nearly everyone else you know has cashed out and moved on to slumber. Those long, dark tea times of the soul moments might be great for grinding out a paper in college, or for power loading a few hours of Rockford Files as you nod off, but as time goes on, those hours become less about using them productively, as they become time to fill, and then time to pass. As you enter middle age, you find that you should be sleeping instead of staring at a screen, trying to puzzle out what Space Ghost just did. Quite a while for the sheen to wear off the night, and I remember the exact experience that caused my perspective to slide toward the negative. I was living in Eugene at the time, having been on my own for a while, carving out this night owl lifestyle and enjoying it a fair amount. I had gotten a phone call from my mom. Grandma would be in town for Thanksgiving, and all of the kids were getting together to celebrate. Did I want to come and stay for a few days and spend some time with family? The timing was perfect. The band had been on a bit of a winter break, so we weren't practicing. Not that we did practice much. My girlfriend had just dumped me, and I lived by myself. The idea of staying at home on my own and trying to scrape together a meal while every family in America was going to have leftovers for weeks was pretty depressing to me, and I liked the idea of getting whisked away to my mom's place, where her and her girlfriend could treat all of us to food and junk TV while I secretly sipped on the bottle of bourbon tucked into my bag and wrote a few pages. This sounded like the perfect holiday break from everything. So I agreed. Work schedule that involved two part-time jobs, and I didn't know how to drive at the time. On top of this, I was living in a basement that was not easy to access from the street. So rather than have my mom drop by a random house at 11 p.m. on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving to wake up my landlord and their family by accident, I opted to instead have my mom meet me in the parking lot of the bar down the street, the tiny tavern which doesn't exist anymore. With this meetup, which was fine, so I got to pop into the bar for a drink before the pickup. 11 p.m. rolls around, so I go outside to stand on the corner where I could be easily seen. I figured I had time for a cigarette, so I shoved my bag on the ground between my legs, and in a deft series of motions, quickly lit a smoke, so I could stand on the corner and look glamorous in my denim jacket on a cold, cold night. I've probably never looked more beautiful, if I'm honest. A 20-something Greek fucking god in my most stunning slack shoes combo, hair perfectly sculpted, rocking a Carp album on my cassette Walkman, feeling a little sloppy from the drink, and now single adult, the world full of possibility as the cold stars shone down on me. Thank you. permanently cement this in time, I probably imagine the film version of this moment had a lively one song from the Pulp Fiction soundtrack punctuating the moment. Our hero, in spite of everything, will live to fight another day. The exact sequence of events isn't exactly clear in my mind, but from what I remember, out of my peripheral vision, I suddenly saw some people running through the parking lot of the tiny tavern. I turned to get a look at them, but they quickly disappeared before I could even make out any details. Oh well. I hear a honk, so I turn and get a face full of eggs from a truck that I did not recognize. Sound of eggs and epithets being yelled rained down on me, the cars, the tiny tavern, pounding onto me with supernatural force. After other insults, I distinctly heard someone yell, "Got 'em!" as the truck whirled off. Miraculously, my cigarette had made it through the circumstance unscathed, but as I moved it up to take a drag, some egg whites fell on the ember, extinguishing it. Another horn honked, so I held up my hands in the direction of that sound and turned. This time it was my mom, my sister, and one of my brothers, all looking at me funny. My mom says, "What happened to you? Have you been smoking again?" Dozed off, dreaming about... I'd rather not talk about it. I could could smell eggs for some reason, which seemed ridiculous. Just part of the Thanksgiving dream, where I got to see Grandma again. I put out dry food for the boys and I went back to bed. I probably already ruined any chance of any decent sleep before the world would be wide awake anyway, but I take my chances and find that I'm easily able to slip back into unconsciousness where any further dreaming eludes me. Later, after coffee and other morning ablutions had been performed or ignored, and I decided it was high time to get on the chores I'd been ignoring for the last 2 days. So I put on some clothes and shoes and a coat, and I look for 4 cat boxes, even though I know there's only 3 anymore, and I sigh. I scoop out all 3 of the cat boxes and put the scooped contents into a plastic bag. I sweep up the mess and put the, yes, only 3 boxes back. I grab the plastic bag and I open up kitchen door to the garage and then the garage door to take out the cat leavings. And it is only then that I notice the eggshells and I immediately furrowed my brow in confusion. Toss out the cat leavings and go into Sherlock mode. I notice a yellow splotch where bits of shell were glued to the side of the garage. Clearly at least one egg absolutely connected with our garage. I investigated a few other places, trying to see if I had conjured up any other eggs in my sleep, but that was the only one I could find. ¶¶ moments, I was convinced that this was some sort of dream hallucination, something I'm imagining in my sleep-deprived state. But M confirms it for me. The egg is real. It absolutely happened. My insomnia, the sound that woke me up suddenly, the confusion, my mind immediately wandering to that event in my past, my soaking in the then and nowness of everything. Somehow I was egged so hard in front of the tiny tavern over 20 years ago that one of the eggs connected with my house here. It might not have immediate repercussions, but our past traumas from our meanderings at night echo into the future in surprising and incredible ways. Time for breakfast. Wasted Modernists, with me, DJ Gigi, the blue-haired hippie. Check out the archives at wfmu.org/playlists/HW.